Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Go For It. I'm your host, Paul Gannon. For the next hour, we're going to be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. Of course, as always, you'll get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You listen to the show, blogtalkradio.com/pgann. You can also listen to the show on iHeart.com. Just look up the Go For It GO, the number 4, IT, also on Stitcher, and also at GoForItRadio.com, where you can listen to the show and other great shows. Great show lined up for you today. Expected to be joined by Hall of Famer Willie Roth. We're going to get his take on Super Bowl 53. Man, what a letdown. Game was not a good game, but we'll get to it. We'll talk about it. And also, we're going to talk about the NBA trade deadline. We're going to talk about a lot of NBA on this show. We're going to talk a lot of Super Bowl on this show. So let's get ready and let's get right down to it. So yesterday, last few days, the NBA trade deadline was here, was upon us, and a lot of things happened. In the Eastern Conference, it's an arms race. I mean, Boston, they stood pat, and they didn't need anything really. I mean, the Celtics were loaded coming to this season, and are loaded, period. The Bucks, they added Mirotić to their impressive roster, and they have the best record in the NBA. The Raptors, they added Marc Gasol to their roster, and the Philadelphia 76ers, maybe the biggest splash, adding Tobias Harris from the Los Angeles Clippers, and also they traded away Markelle Fultz. We'll get to that in a moment. So, the Eastern Conference, it's an arms race. And all these teams, you know, the Sixers went first. Milwaukee and Toronto felt like, hey, we got to counter this. They got a big-time roster there. We got to counter that. So, that's what they did. Toronto countered. Milwaukee countered. And we'll see what those counters will do or what those counters look like come playoff time. I'll tell you this. Milwaukee's a very good basketball team, and the addition of Mirotić helps. More shooting. You can never have too much shooting, especially with Bud Ball. So more shooting is a good thing when it comes to the Milwaukee Bucks and Mirotić. You look at the Raptors. I mean, Gasol, is he an upgrade over Valanciunas? Probably, yes. But in terms of what Toronto is doing, man, watched him the other night against the Sixers. I like him with Ibaka at the five. I really do like him with Ibaka at the five. I think they go faster with Ibaka at the five. And so I like Ibaka at the five. So, I mean, I get getting Marc Gasol because he is an upgrade over Valanciunas. And also you look at Marc Gasol, guy was defensive player of the year a couple years back. So this guy obviously may not be the defender that he once was, but he still can defend. And when you're the Toronto Raptors in the Eastern Conference, you're going to have to worry about Joel Embiid. And that's not going to be easy. Joel Embiid is a load. Joel Embiid is probably the best center in basketball. So he's a load. He's a problem. And, you know, Marc Gasol helps. And Marc Gasol also has the ability to shoot, which also takes Embiid outside. So it takes him away from the paint on defense, which helps. So obviously adding that piece for Toronto, it's going to help. It doesn't hurt to add an all-star caliber center in Marc Gasol. That doesn't hurt. You look at Philadelphia, and again, they were very, very active. You know, they were active. And Philadelphia is going for it. Toronto's going for it. Milwaukee's going for it. Philadelphia's going for it. So all three of these teams are going for it. Boston's going for it. These teams are going for it. So Philadelphia, you look at the Philadelphia 76ers, and, you know, obviously they made that deal for Jimmy Butler. And you knew after making that deal that they were all in. And then after what we saw during the trade deadline, we knew for a fact they were definitely all in. There was no debate. They were all in. And then what happened maybe an hour before the trade deadline, when they traded Markel Fultz, you knew where this team was. They were trying to get a championship in 2018-2019. They're trying to get a championship right now. And that move, moving Markel Fultz, the number one overall pick in the 2017 NBA draft. I mean, you're getting rid of him. You're on some, essentially, you're giving up on him at this point in time. To me, that's definitely telling me you're all in. And what you did was try to replenish some of the draft picks that you lost in that Clippers deal. You know, you're trying to replenish that a little bit. The pick they got from Orlando is a top 20 protected pick, and I believe it's in 2020. You know, because they gave up a first rounder, their own first rounder, and they also gave up that 2021 pick that was unprotected from the Miami Heat. And so unprotected picks, you know, if the Miami Heat happened to be garbage around that time, obviously that's a great situation for the Los Angeles Clippers. And the Clippers at this point, they realize what they were. They realize what they are. In the Western Conference, they're in eighth, seventh seed. And they knew basically that wasn't enough. That wasn't going to get it done. They knew that they were going to be exiting in the first round, especially if you're in, well, the AFC, you play the Golden State Warriors. We all know the outcome. The outcome is, we already know what it is. So the reality is the Clippers, they were thinking about tomorrow. They were thinking about the possibilities of Anthony Davis, who reportedly has the Clippers on his list. They were thinking about the possibilities of Kawhi Leonard, possibly, you know, who always, you know, the reports were that he was enamored with Los Angeles, whether that's the Lakers or the Clippers, he wanted to get to Los Angeles. So they got their eyes on the prize. And so the Clippers, they're clearing cap space. You know, Tobias Harris, he's going to be a free agent in the offseason. Obviously, they got bigger things they wanted. They got bigger goals, bigger dreams, bigger aspirations. Hey, and there's a guy in New Orleans that would look good in a Los Angeles Clippers uniform. Heck, he would look good in a lot of uniforms. So you look at that situation. The Clippers are thinking about tomorrow. Obviously, the Sixers are thinking about today. So how – I'll say this. The four teams in the Eastern Conference, Sixers, Bucks, Celtics, Raptors, how do they all stack up? And I would tell you, as of today, right now, I'm going to say, I don't know. IDK. I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know. I don't know how a Sixers-Bucks second-round series looks like, if that were to happen. I don't know what a Bucks-Celtics second round series looks like. I don't know what a Raptors Sixers second round series, what that looks like. I don't know. Celtics Raptors, I don't know what that looks like either. I don't know. And I got to see, and I got time to think about this, but I got to see what these moves do for each of these teams. I got to see how Tobias Harris and how he meshes with Butler and Embiid and Simmons. And I got to see if Philadelphia will have enough depth moving forward where they can be effective and have an effective enough bench. I mean, James Ennis, they got him from the Rockets, Jonathan Simmons from the Magic in that Markel Fultz trade. You know, you still have T.J. McConnell. You still have Furkan Korkmaz. And I don't know. You know, Korkmaz can shoot. He can shoot. But again, he's an up-and-down player. He's an up-and-down player, and he's not a guy, obviously, that you're going to rely on. But obviously the Sixers, and we don't know if Zaire Smith will come back this year. We don't know what his situation is. And I think if he does come back and he has athleticism, the one thing Zaire Smith can do is defend. So he can defend. So maybe that can help, because Philadelphia, one thing we've seen with Philadelphia is their inability to guard small guards, smaller guards. They had a hard time with that. So obviously a guy like Zaire Smith, if he's healthy, with his athleticism, helps in that area. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But I will say this. We got to see how this whole thing shakes out. We got to see how this whole thing shakes out. We got to see how this thing meshes, or if it will mesh, or if it will come together, if it will be simpatico, if it will be just perfect harmony. We have to see. And the Sixers have 28 games to figure out whether or not this whole thing can come together. And the Sixers made the most drastic of moves out of all the teams. The Bucks are pretty much the same. They just added Mirotić. The Raptors are fairly the same. They just added Gasol, who you can argue is an upgrade over Valanciunas. And obviously Boston is Boston. And Boston has had a hard time meshing all that talent together. It's going to be interesting. I assume Celtics, Bucks, Sixers, and Raptors will all win their first-round series, no matter who's it against. I don't know who it's going to be against, but I think all those teams win their first-round series. The Eastern Conference semifinals are going to be crazy. You're going to have the Sixers, the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Raptors. All those teams could go to the NBA Finals. Two of those teams are going to lose in the Eastern Conference semifinals, which is crazy. It's going to be crazy. These are talented basketball teams, and the Eastern Conference, man, those playoffs are going to be must-see TV. Get your popcorn, whatever you drink, make sure it's cold, because at the end of the day, the Eastern Conference semifinals, whether it's Sixers, Bucks, Sixers, Celtics, whether it's Sixers, Raptors, whether it's Raptors, Celtics, whether it's Raptors, Bucks, whether it's Sixers, Celtics, whatever the matchup, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. Let's shift gears to the Super Bowl now. That wasn't very fun. Low scoring game in Super Bowl history. It wasn't an aesthetically pleasing game. It wasn't a fun game to look at. Don't get me wrong. I like defense. I like defense a lot. But not that much defense. That was just a little too much. But especially in a game of that magnitude. Hey, 24-21, even 17-14, but 13-3. You got one team that didn't even get to the end zone. That's not fun to watch. But a guy who did watch it, let's bring him in now. Hall of Famer, Willie Rowe. Willie.
And I will add to something you're saying. Another thing with the Celtics, if Gordon Hayward, Paul can't give him any more than what he's giving him. I mean, the Sixers are stacked and loaded. I mean, they made the best moves. They added, Tobias. I mean, that was just they added some pieces. I mean, the Sixers are stacked. They got to figure out how those guys are going to play together. But I see the Sixers in Milwaukee being tough, but with the weapons they have now, and Ben Simmons doesn't have to shoot it because he's got shooters around him. They're going to be tough to deal with.
They will. It's going to be interesting, but I can't say as much as I want to say. I can't say definitively that the Sixers will beat the Celtics, the Bucks, or the Raptors in a seven-game series at this point. I can't say it definitively. I still think all those teams are fairly evenly matched. It's going to be interesting.
But I like the Raptors and the Bucks. I think they're going to be stronger than the Celtics. The Celtics are going to have to rely heavily on Kyrie Irving. And, the young Tatum's going to have to step up big and going to have to step up big in these playoffs. Because they got too many scores on those other teams.
They do. But, and the thing is, though, out of all those four teams, I think you would have to say the Celtics are probably the most battle-tested between them or Toronto in terms of being battle-tested. The talent that's on the Celtics, I can't say that the Sixers, Bucks, or Raptors could definitively beat the Boston Celtics in a seven-game series. I don't think we can say it at this point. I mean, maybe you can. I'm just not confident enough at this point to say the Celtics, with all that talent, can't beat the Bucks, Raptors, or Sixers. But we'll see. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun come the playoffs, especially in the East, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. Let me ask you this. Super Bowl 53. That wasn't a lot of fun. We watched the game 13-3. The Patriots beat the Rams. To me, I mean, the Patriots defense, I know they were solid, but I didn't expect them to do that to that Rams offense. That, to me, was probably one of the most shocking things in that game. The way the Patriots defense was able to slow down and basically shut down that Rams offense. Were you surprised by that?
You know, I was surprised by it. Really and truly, I'm sorry to say this, I really can't I can't really count that Super Bowl. I mean, I just, the way it all went down and everything, and then the way things happened, the Saints should have been in the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl was not good. I don't know what's wrong with Gurley. They didn't use him. The quarterback, they knew, Belichick and them knew that they were going, this kid, they kept extra guy in the box were going to make this kid win the game. So, I mean, the wrong team was in the Super Bowl. The Saints should have been in the Super Bowl. It would have been a way different game. And if they don't score, if they only score 13 points, I think the Saints win that game.
I mean, I do think the Saints probably beat the Patriots in that game. I do agree with that. But, I mean, I think at some point, you know, bad calls happen. We can argue that maybe the best team did not necessarily play in the Super Bowl. Maybe we can argue that the Saints were the better team.
Yeah, the Saints were the better team. I mean, so you get fined after the game, but the ref is standing right there and doesn't call it. So, I mean, you still, how do you explain that? I mean, he's standing right there, Paul. You can't explain that away.
It was bad. I don't think anybody can argue how bad that particular call or no call in that particular case was. I mean, it was bad. It definitely was bad. But I think at some point, you know, the Rams were there, and maybe the Saints belong there, but the Rams were there, and they didn't show up. They did not show up. And I'm just stunned by the performance of the Rams in that particular game. And so you felt like the Super Bowl lost a little bit of its luster because the Saints weren't there, and because the Saints weren't there because of that bad call, the non-pass interference call.
I think it lost its luster. I think a lot of people did feel the same way I feel, that they don't count it as a Super Bowl because the Saints should have been there. And then the way the game was played even made that more apparent that they shouldn't have been there. And, you know, I mean, the Rams had a great year. They stepped it up in the playoffs. But a lot of people feel the same way I feel. They're not really thinking of counting that Super Bowl, especially in New Orleans. You go anywhere in New Orleans, they're not counting that as a Super Bowl. It's just they're not. They think the Saints got screwed out of it.
So are you going to put an asterisk next to that?
I think we got to put an asterisk next to that one. That's six, but, I mean, I think it's an asterisk next. The way they won that, I think it's an asterisk next to that Super Bowl.
Obviously, it was a Patriots Super Bowl. They got it done. You know, Belichick, he was able to scheme his way on some level to that victory. But what are your thoughts on Jared Goff and his performance? I mean, we haven't seen him play this way all year. Maybe one time against the Bears, but that was a formidable Bears defense. That was a really good Bears defense. But we really haven't seen Goff play the way he played, you know, until the Super Bowl. And he was awful. I mean, he was missing
throws. Well, he had a couple opportunities. He threw that one pass late. That's a touchdown. He had a couple shots during the game that changed the course of the game. If he makes the throw, he threw that one way. That one he had was way late, and that's what Bill Belichick did. They schemed him, and he was going to, when he had the opportunity to make a play, he had, you have to make a play. That's what Belichick does to you. They make you, you have to make a play when you get the opportunity. They're not going to make mistakes. They're going to play fundamental football. And if you beat me, you beat me. But you're going to have to beat me playing a sound football game.
For sure.
And he slowed the game down. Last year, you look at what the Patriots did. Last year, they wanted to speed it up, and they got into a shootout last year with your Philadelphia Eagles, and they lost because the Philadelphia made the play to win the game. So what did they do this year? They slowed it all down, and they're going, I'm going to make you beat me. I'm not going to give you a lot of opportunities, and you're going to have to beat me when you get a chance. And you're not going to get many of them.
Yeah, and we saw a team that the Patriots throughout the course of this playoff run were successful running the ball. They had a lot of success running the ball, whether it was against the Chargers, whether it was against the Chiefs. They had a lot of success. They had some success in this game, 154 yards rushing against the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot of success running the ball. So to your point, that helps you slow the game down when you're able to
slow
the
game down. And it minimizes the opportunities you have on the offensive side of the ball. So, I mean, you had 8 straight punts in that game. You couldn't figure out something. So it's just not on Jared Goff. It's on the coaches too. If you have 8, you have to make adjustments. Where's the adjustment? You can't make any adjustment to score any points. Something's wrong. You had 8 opportunities and it's 8 straight punts.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was bad. It was bad. And with all the playmakers that the Rams have on offense, it just shouldn't be. I mean, Cooks, Woods, Gurley, and it's based off, you know, what we saw, maybe Gurley wasn't at 100%. Who knows? But all the weapons that the Rams had at their disposal, 3 points in the biggest game of the year, it's just unacceptable. But it's also – we could talk about the greatness of Bill Belichick. I mean, they always say you give Bill Belichick 2 weeks
but
to divide.
But you do agree.
Go ahead.
You do agree, Paul. If that's Drew Brees, they're coming in a whole different game plan, and they're not just stopping Drew Brees from going and scoring points. That's not going to happen.
No, the Saints are going to get theirs. But I thought the Rams would get theirs too. I mean, I thought the Rams would get there. I thought the Rams would get in the 20s at least. I thought they would get at least in the 20s. I mean, they didn't score a touchdown. Like, that's just crazy if you think about today's NFL, with the way the rules are slanted towards the offense, with all the talent that's on that Rams offense, you can only muster up a field goal. That's just something's not right there. And whether that's coaching, whether that's, Goff just having a bad day. Goff was 19 for 38. That's not good. 19 for 38, 229 yards and 1 pick. That's not good. That's not a good game, and that's coming up small in the biggest game of the year. And you look at the Rams defensively. They had names, but you were able to score points against the Rams. Defensively, they showed up against the Patriots. They showed up, and their offense didn't show up. And that's why New England Patriots, Tom Brady, Belichick, they get number 6. So we look at Tom Brady. We're talking to Hall of Famer Willie Rowe. So we look at Tom Brady. I mean, the guy, he wasn't great during the Super Bowl. He wasn't great. 41 years old at this point. And if you look at his playoff run, I mean, 343 yards against the Chargers. But you can argue that, yeah, he played well. But a part of that was they were able to run the ball effectively against the Chargers. 348 against the Chiefs. But he also had 2 picks. And you can argue he should have threw a third one, but D4 was off sides. And obviously that negated that. And then in the Super Bowl, 262 yards, no touchdowns, 1 pick. Can we say at this point, and, you know, I'm asking you, we're looking at the Tom Brady at this point, 41 years old. Are we starting, even though he won number six, even though he's been to the Super Bowl, what, three straight times, are we starting to see a decline in Tom Brady?
I mean, obviously, you're going to see some decline. He's 41 years old, but he did win the sixth Super Bowl. That's the most, right, by anybody.
That's the most. Charles Elliott had fives.
Yeah, that's the most, and with one team. So he's right there with the – you have to argue, is he the greatest football player of all time? I mean, how can you say he's not? I don't know how you can say he's not.
There's really, at this point, there's really no argument that anybody can bring up to say Tom Brady's not the greatest of all time. Maybe you could say Joe Montana was 4-0 in Super Bowls.
But Joe Montana played with Jerry Rice, arguably the best football player to ever do it.
Right. I guess the only it's kind of like, you know, if LeBron were to somehow surpass Jordan in titles, he would have more finals appearances, but Jordan would be 6-0 in finals play. And it's kind of the same argument here with Tom Brady and Joe Montana on some level. I mean, Tom Brady 9 Super Bowls, 1-6, Montana 4-0 in the Super Bowl play. But I agree. There's really no argument at this point. And I think anybody that tries to make that argument is, quite frankly, just being a hater. Because there's really
Terry Bradshaw's
4-0
in the Super Bowl. And I hear people talk about Dan Marino. Dan Marino is a heck of a football player. I'm not saying anything about Dan Marino. But you can't put Dan Marino in that category with Tom Brady and those guys with all those rings. I'm sorry. Dan Marino threw for a lot of yards in the regular season. He was a great quarterback. I understand that. But Dan Marino went to the Super Bowl his rookie year, and he never went back. And then you have people arguing that he's in the best conversation. No, he's not in the best conversation of quarterback all time.
No, not at this point. Especially with all that Brady has done. So we look at the Patriots, you know, moving forward. I mean, obviously Brady, obviously Belichick, and obviously they play in the AFC East, which is not a very good division. So there's a good chance that this team, I guess, could be back here again.
Well, you got the Chiefs knocking on the door. Who else in the AFC? You got a few teams in the AFC that are knocking on the door. Mainly the Chiefs, and it's going to get tougher. I mean, they're going to have to. I mean, and they lost another good, outstanding coach. I mean, they lost their one defensive coordinator last year to Detroit, and they just lost this guy. I mean, I don't know how Belichick does it, how he keeps these guys focused. But I mean, I guess they're running the same system, the same scheme, and they're just putting guys in there to coach them up. Because I mean, I don't know if the scheme must not be changing, but. Whatever they're doing, they get it done. I mean, whatever they're doing with this run, we've never seen it. It's never been done like this.
No. Especially in this era of the NFL with free agency, where teams change year by year, where you can't keep everybody. So it's tough, man. I mean, the way they're – it's amazing. I mean, you're looking at some of the teams, I guess, you know, Houston obviously is a team you could look at. The Chiefs obviously are going to be there with Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Chargers still have a lot of talent.
The Colts.
Yeah, the Colts with Andrew Luck.
They're
going to
be better.
The way he played. You can't dismiss the Steelers either. Can't dismiss them. So it's going to be interesting. But I still feel like if you look at the AFC East, I mean, the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Jets, I don't see them – making that much headway where they're defeating the New England Patriots. You look at the Patriots, I mean, this team, they lost 5 games in a regular season, all to teams that didn't make the playoffs. I mean, this was not a very talented team. It wasn't. But it's amazing how they were – obviously it helps the division they play in, but still, it was amazing – how they were able – it's not – I mean, the Chargers were a very good football team, and they handled them. And the Chiefs, obviously, in Kansas City, they went in that environment, and they handled them. I mean, so This is a very impressive run by the New England Patriots. Very impressive.
Yeah, but the Chiefs didn't show up in the first half, and they let them, they deferred and let them drive right down the field and score those touchdowns. And the Chiefs played catch-ups, and they got back in that game. The Chiefs took the lead in the game. So some of that's on them, too. That defense has to step up and make a few more plays, and the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, the Chiefs had a chance to go. They took the lead in the game, and then late in the game, they couldn't stop them. So, I mean, they ran out of gas. And, again, the Patriots have luck on their side. They got some calls. They went their way. There were some bad calls. And you have the third down situation with D Ford. And here we go. They're back in the Super Bowl. Chiefs could have easily been in the Super Bowl, too. But we can, that's over now. The Chiefs are young, talented, with a lot of talent. They need to draft well and get some running backs, get some DBs. I don't know if Eric Berry comes back. He didn't look like his old self anymore. So, you know, the Chiefs are going to be right there. It's going to be tough to deal with the Chiefs.
Go ahead.
It's going to be difficult to deal with Mahomes and those boys.
That is true.
It's for a long time.
Let me ask you this. I mean, I've watched a lot of Super Bowls over the years, and to me, I mean, last year's Super Bowl, Eagles-Patriots was a great Super Bowl. One of the best I've seen. And I'm not saying that because I'm an Eagles fan. That was one of the best games I've seen. This one, probably the worst Super Bowl I've ever watched.
Yes,
do you agree with
that?
I
would agree with you. Yes.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was bad.
Yeah.
And it's not just that. The commercials, the best commercial was the football player. Other than that, the commercials weren't good. The halftime show was just, it wasn't a good production.
Yeah, it wasn't the NFL's best moment, Super Bowl 53.
No.
And I thought, you know, speaking of the halftime show, this, I just feel like that should have been all Atlanta. There's so many great acts coming out of the city of Atlanta. That should have been an all Atlanta show.
Should have been
that's
all Atlanta show. Why is Maroon 5 out there?
Yeah, I don't think that fits in Atlanta. I think Atlanta, you got to go with all those great acts in Atlanta. Maybe Ludacris, maybe, you know, Outkast, Big Boy, and Andre 3000, all them together. I mean, there's so many different great acts in Atlanta that you could have ran out there, and it could have been like a medley of songs, like, you know, Big Boy and Andre 3000, Outkast, they come out to their thing. Ludacris comes out and does his thing. I mean, there's so many different acts that in Atlanta that you could have just threw out there. Everybody could have did their thing, could have been a medley of songs, could have took people back a little bit. Would have been great, but, you know, it is what it is. But it was just not a good Super Bowl, and it was just not a good day for the National Football League Super Bowl 53. But, you know, it happens, I guess, but it wasn't good. And maybe it's because the Saints weren't there.
Well, a lot of people didn't watch it because the Saints weren't there, and a lot of people felt like I talked to people, I went, old ladies, everybody knew the Saints got screwed in that game. So it was a lot of people that feel like the Saints really got screwed in that game.
Yeah, it was bad. It was
they're
a bad
football
situation. It was a bad situation.
Yeah, they were not football fans. That story got so big, people that didn't watch football know about that story.
Right. It was bad, and it wasn't a good moment for the NFL. Not at all. We're talking to Hall of Famer Willie Rowe. So let me ask you this. You know, on Saturday, one of your former teammates, Tony Gonzalez, he made the Hall of Fame. Not really a surprise that he made it, but he's in the Hall of Fame now. Obviously, he had a great career in Kansas City, Atlanta, did a lot of great things. One of the better tight ends to ever play the game, and now he's in Canton. How excited are you to see Tony Gonzalez in the Hall of Fame?
I'm excited, man, because Tony had a great career, you know, especially the way he grew up. You know, his dad wasn't his life. His mama worked hard to raise him and his brother. Wasn't in a tough situation, and, you know, Tony was a terrific athlete, and, you know, now Tony's just a good person, a good family man, and, you know, raising his kids and his family. So to see the maturation and growth of Tony, you know, after he's retired and the way he carries himself. It just, you know, you just see a man that has evolved. And like I said, Tony's, you know, he's always been nice to me, and you know, we got along great when I was in Kansas City, and it was fun to play with him, you know. And I know he made a few comments, you know. I understand how it goes when you have been with a team and you feel like maybe they wronged you a little bit, and he made some statements about Atlanta or whatever. But, you know, the Chiefs understand, you know. I mean, he grew up in Kansas City. That's where he learned how to – that's where he became a man in Kansas City. He was a boy when he got in the NFL. So, you know, I mean, just be proud of him. And, you know, like I said, I'm you know, just great to see him, which everybody knew when I got to Kansas City. You know, I mean, you already knew Tony Gonzalez was going to be a Hall of Famer. So, you know, so, I mean, it was just a matter of time. And, I mean, Tony still can go play basketball today. I mean, he's – you know, I mean, he's just that type of athlete. So – I mean, he was a special athlete, and he got blessed with a lot of ability, and he, you know, he played a long time, man. This guy put up numbers for a long time, you know, second most in NFL history from the tight end position. I don't know if anybody, I mean, the kid and the one who might be able to break it is Kelce, you know. I mean, Kelce's a special football player, and I think he's got a chance to play a long, long time also. So, you know, and I think Kelce probably the best tight end in football right now. You know, Witten was good, and Antonio Gates is almost done. And he got Gronk. It's been a great run with tight ends right now. So, you know, guys got to pick up and carry the torch. But Tony was one of those guys that took it to a whole other level, him and Shannon Sharp, which, you know, they call Shannon a tweener. But Shannon was a hell of a tight end also. But, you know, like I said, the numbers Tony had, and, you know, the way he carries himself now, he's just a good guy.
For sure, for sure. And it's good to see him get into the Hall of Fame. It's exciting to see anybody get into the Hall of Fame. Obviously, when you make it to the Hall of Fame, you are in football heaven. You know
better. And I will say this. You, Kevin, my wife getting in, I was so happy for him. You know, it's been tough on linemen the last couple of years. Really tough on receivers. I mean, you got Isaac Bruce sitting over there that hadn't gotten in yet. You know, there was a hell of a tight receiver. You got Steve Atwater has been waiting a while. You know, Kevin Mawai, you know, he made all pro. He played guard and center. Kevin could get out and run. He's 6'4", 6'5", guy that could get out and run and played about 16 years. So I was happy to see that another lineman got inducted in. I know Faneca didn't get in and Buscelli, but I was real happy to see that Kevin Mawai got in the Hall of Fame. LSU, maybe LSU's best lineman that do it, that they got in.
Yeah, and not many surprises in terms of who got in. I mean, I think at some point, Edgerrin James has to get a look. I think at some point, Fred Taylor has to get a look. There's some guys out here. Isaac Bruce, another guy at some point, got to get a look. But I think they will. I think they will over time. They're just not getting in now, but I think they will over time. But we'll see. I mean, I think when it's all said and done, Edgerrin James will get in. Fred Taylor, I think he'll also get in. Just might not happen when they want it to happen, or as soon as they want it to happen. But I think it'll happen. We're talking to Hall of Famer Willie Rosso. Frame your game. You're still doing big things with that. What you got in the pipeline?
Well, we're working on some stuff right now. We're reshuffling management right now. And, you know, you can still go to Fanatics and type in NFL license plate helmet. If any fans want to go and get their get a helmet, you still put it on after the season and represent your team if you want to. But we're reshuffling some things, and going into the next year, I'll be able to come on and tell everybody what we got going moving forward. But you know, we're working out a few issues, and then we'll be like I said, we still have product for sale, but we'll be coming back strong next year.
Let me ask you this: we also had we saw a video of Patrick Mahomes playing basketball. You know, Chiefs GM kind of shut it down at this point. No more basketball for Patrick Mahomes. Let me ask you this. In the off season, did you play ball? Did you play any other sports?
You know, I hooped a little bit. You know, I will tell you this. I went to Duke and leaned up before the 98 season. I was playing a lot of basketball. And the guy training me was an ex-basketball player, played overseas a little bit. So I was playing a lot of basketball, and I did have to get my knee cleaned out in the middle of the season. That's funny you bring that up. So, you know, being 300 pounds and running around and dunking and jumping and doing that stuff, I had to get my knee cleaned out. And I think that was directly because of me playing basketball. So he's got to watch it running up and down. He's young, but you got to watch it running up and down that hardwood and changing direction and stuff. And what if you come down the wrong way? He just, they're about to give you $200 million. I don't think they want you playing a lot of basketball.
So you felt like you playing basketball during that particular offseason directly affected you in the regular season?
Yeah, I think all the basketball plays is why I had to get my knee cleaned out. Oh, 100% it did. Me getting that knee cleaned out, me playing all that basketball made me have to get my knee cleaned out in the middle of the 98 season, and I missed one game, and I came back against Minnesota at Minnesota in 98. So, I played the rest of the year. My knee wasn't feeling good, but I did. I think me playing in all season, going up to Duke and hooping a lot, it really did affect me.
So did you limit the amount of basketball you played in the off season going forward after that?
Yeah, I might have played a little pickup sometime in the off season, but not a lot. I never did play a lot. I just remember playing a lot and being in there doing drills. I was doing drills and playing and running around shooting baskets and playing around a lot when I was at Duke. I just remember playing a lot of basketball. You know, not with a bunch of guys, but I was just doing a lot of drills and running around on the court, playing around with him one-on-one and stuff a lot that offseason. I don't recommend a guy. And I mean, I was 300 pounds, 320 pounds. So, I wasn't 230, 240 like I was when I was growing up. So, 220. So, obviously I had a lot of fun hooping, running around, and jumping and dunking and playing around, but when I was younger in the off season, me and Jerome up in Denver, I used to play a lot of basketball in the off season. We used to work out and train in the gym, and after we would get doing our training and working out, I would play a little pickup game with Jerome or with the guys, and we would shoot and play with our agent. So I played a little bit, but it wasn't. It was just in fun. I didn't get serious with it.
Okay. All right. And when you say Jerome, you talk about Jerome Bettis.
Jerome Bettis and I, yes. We had a house together. We used to train together, yes.
Okay. I mean, yeah. Do you still hoop now?
No. Those days are over. I did, about 10 years ago, I remember I dunked the ball, but I haven't tried, and I had back surgery. So, that was maybe when if I get things right and do things right, Paul, maybe when I turn 50, if I feel good, I'll try to dunk it one time.
No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that.
You don't think so?
I mean, I'm at 40, 42, 41. I thought I was invincible. Tore my Achilles playing basketball. I'll never play basketball again. Never.
Well, Will Shields still plays pickup basketball. Will Shields skinny now. Will Shields still plays pickup basketball.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think he does. He was a couple. He owns a gym, so. He was playing pickup basketball. I mean,
he's
a guy that played
14
years, never missed a game, and I think he's still playing pickup. He might be. He was the last time I checked.
He's 47. It's dangerous. You get dangerous. It's dangerous, man, when you're out there on the court in your 40s, man.
I'll tell you this, to you speaking on that. When Dez Bryant hurt his Achilles, I know he wasn't doing a lot of football drills because T.O. wanted him to do football drills. I think he hurt his Achilles playing basketball because he loves playing basketball. I think Dez was playing a lot of basketball, tweaked his ankle or something, and I think he hurt his ankle when it really gave out on him. It gave out on him probably because he had been playing a lot of basketball.
Okay. All right. I mean,
and he was probably heavier running around on that basketball court. I will. You're right. I had to get my knee scoped from playing basketball. That's why
basketball's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, man. And
but that hardwood, I mean, you got to have respect for them guys playing 80 games and run up and down that bit. And LeBron James is not a little guy. I mean, he's tall, but he's not a little guy to run up and down. But, you know, they've been doing that for years, so their bodies get used to it.
Right. And it's a tough game. It's a tough game, man. And it's a lot of fun, though. It's definitely a lot of fun. And if I could still play it without thinking about my Achilles or any other injury, I would definitely still play it. But I know my limitations at this point. It's a wrap. It's a done deal. I can't get out there again. Before we get out of here, speaking of LeBron James, we know you're a big LeBron guy. I look at LeBron with the whole situation with Anthony Davis, and I know, hey, at the end of the day, I love when players have a lot of power, have a lot of say. But I will say this about LeBron and that whole situation with Anthony Davis signing with Clutch Sports, and we know the relationship LeBron has with Clutch Sports. Those are his boys. Those are his guys. It just, to me, it stinks a little bit. I get it. I understand it. It just stinks a little bit. And I'm interested to see how this thing is going to play out moving forward. But how do you view it?
I mean, Anthony Davis wanted to leave. I mean, I think that had a lot to do with him and being the Lakers and what happened with the Rams in the Super Bowl. And, you know, Miss Vincent owns the Saints and the Pelicans now. So I think that has something to do with it. And people don't like trading with the Lakers. The problem is they offered a lot. I mean, you could say whatever you want to say about the trade. They offered a lot. If Anthony Davis wants to go to L.A., he's going to go to L.A. It doesn't matter. So if you want to hold it off and say you want to trade him, if Anthony Davis in the back of his mind, because he did like their trade, he liked what they tried to do to get him. So if Anthony Davis says, okay, in the back of his mind, Paul, the Lakers really made a real run at me, the Pelicans never were going to move me, which we don't think they were going to move him, and if he really wants to end up a Lakers, he'll end up a Lakers. He has that control. You're not going to be able to stop him.
At some point, they'll have that control. At this point, the Pelicans have the control. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out.
The Clippers are trying to clear space for guys. I see what they're doing.
Right.
New York's out of it. Who's the other team? Milwaukee doesn't have the access to do it. So, like I said, if he wants to end up a Laker, he's going to end up a Laker.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting.
And guess what happens? Guess what happens, Paul? They're not going to give up all them players. I'm not giving up Kuzma. I'm not giving up Kuzma.
But I think the Lakers, in my opinion, had to be aggressive with the moves that, you know, they had to be aggressive and they had to offer the farm in order to get Anthony Davis, because you don't want to open this up to teams that have more, like Boston.
Yeah, but they,
who might
but they
be
did
able
offer,
to offer
the farm,
you, Jason,
and they still didn't
did.
Take it. They did offer, but they wanted more first-round picks, okay? But they didn't ever counter the Lakers. So, you know, so they're playing chicken. They never were going to – Anthony Davis, they were never going to move him. And they're still going to try to get Anthony Davis to stay. He said he's not staying. See, these guys – I understand that it's 240. Okay, he goes for 200. Or he goes and signs a smaller deal, and he re-ups it in 2 or 3 years. He'll make the money up.
Yeah.
When we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars and endorsements – I mean, he's going to have 200 or 300, whatever, million in the bank when he's done anyway, Paul. Talking apples and oranges here.
But we'll see. I mean, here's the thing. The Lakers want him. The Clippers want him. And apparently the Clippers are on his list. So Milwaukee's on his list, and we'll see what Milwaukee could offer.
That's what they said. I think he wants to go play for the Lakers. He doesn't want to, that's what he said, because he had to say that.
I agree with that.
You know, he had to say that. Everybody on his list couldn't do the deal or didn't have the access except for the Lakers. Nobody else could make a move for him except for the Lakers.
I think he had to add other teams, or at least get that thrown out there that he was interested in other teams. Because obviously the thing is, everybody's thought is Lakers, Lakers, Lakers. So I think he had to do that, to your point.
I agree with that.
I think he had to put that out there.
He did that on purpose. But his ultimate destination is the Lakers.
I think when it's all said and done,
he wants to be with the Lakers.
It's going to be the Lakers. because I think that's where he wants to be. But I will say this, if the Lakers do strike out and somehow Anthony Davis goes elsewhere, and then somehow Kawhi Leonard decides that he wants to stay in Toronto, or KD, he decides he wants to stay in Golden State, or maybe he goes to New York, where some people believe he really wants to be. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. If the Lakers strike out, LeBron will not get a ring with the Los Angeles Lakers. And there's, you know, if they strike out and don't get that big guy, that next superstar, they need another star. They got LeBron.
They needed Anthony Davis to go. You know what they needed, Paul? They needed Anthony Davis to go to have two there so another star would want to go. I think they have a shot to get Klay Thompson. I think they still got a shot to get Klay. And they're going to make some move, but they wanted Anthony Davis. So somebody would say, okay, they got AD. I'm ready to go sign him. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Here's the thing. If they strike out, LeBron will not win a title with the Lakers because it's just LeBron and he got a bunch of maybes. Maybe Kuzma could be a star. Maybe Ingram could be a star. Maybe Ball could
still,
be a star.
And they're still developing.
It's all maybes.
But they're still developing right now as we speak.
Yeah, but how good – what is the ceiling for Kyle Kuzma? Like, how good will he be? Can he be a star?
I think he's going to be an all-star. I think Kuzma will eventually be an all-star. He'll be more consistent scoring the ball. I think he'll be an all-star.
So if LeBron and Kuzma, Ingram's a maybe. But Kuzma's a maybe at this point, too. But if Kuzma becomes – let's say Kuzma becomes a star, and they strike out on Kawhi – they strike out on Anthony Davis. They strike out on Klay Thompson. And they strike out on Durant. This team will not win a title with LeBron James. It's not going to happen. If they strike out, they don't get that other star.
They're going to get some players. Everything's going to work out. Magic and them are going to make some moves. LeBron's going to make some moves. He's got this all-star team. You see all them guys he got in the all-star team. That he has. If Anthony Davis wants to be a Laker, he will be a Laker. They can hold it up for a little while. He'll go somewhere and play next year. If they trade him in July, he's still going to end up a Laker.
But at that point, LeBron becomes a couple years older. And so at that point, LeBron will be on the other side of things. And then
LeBron can change his game up and play more in the post. He's going to change his game up. He's not. LeBron takes great care of his body. We don't know how much longer LeBron's got.
He does take care of his body, but at the end of the day, I mean, Kobe Bryant took care of his body, and at 34, he tore his Achilles. He broke down. So there's always the possibility, all the basketball that LeBron James has played, 8-9 straight finals appearance. At some point, the body can only take so much. And I'm not saying LeBron's going to break down. But we did see a groin injury this year. And there's always the possibility of breakdown. I mean, we didn't expect Kobe to break down the way he broke down. I don't think anybody really expected Kobe to break down the way he broke down. And LeBron James, similar career from this standpoint. Both guys came out of high school. Both guys played in a lot of basketball games. Both guys won a lot of titles and played a lot of basketball games. I mean, if you want to win an NBA title, you got to play 100 games.
But he tore an Achilles, Paul. That's a more serious injury.
True. But I'm saying the point is, at the age of 34, the body broke down. So
I was at that game. And guess why it broke down? Because D'Antoni was playing him too many minutes. Remember, D'Antoni was playing him too many minutes.
That
They're
is
not
true.
Using LeBron
I
like
remember.
That.
Yep.
They had him guarding the best player, and he was playing way too many minutes when he got hurt. I was at that game.
But LeBron, if you look at LeBron, he's got a lot of minutes too. He's averaging.
Yeah, but they're not playing him. No. But Kobe was playing more minutes than LeBron. Then they're trying to play LeBron now.
He's averaging about 35 minutes a game.
Okay, what was Kobe
minutes.
Playing that year?
Kobe. Let me look that up real quick. Kobe Bryant in that particular year. But you have to look at it. Like, both of those guys are guys who, a lot of wear and tear in their bodies. And a lot of these guys played 100-plus games in a year. And that you got to do that when you're winning titles. You have long seasons. Then you got to throw in some Olympic play that, you know, these guys had, Kobe and LeBron. So, you know, you got to look at those things. So, Kobe, the year he broke down, the year he got the Achilles, where is it at? Age 34, Kobe was averaging 38 minutes a game. 38.6 minutes per game.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. And granted, well, if you look at LeBron, he's kind of in a similar situation from this standpoint. Kobe was playing and grinding all that those minutes because the Lakers had to get into the playoffs. They were a lower-seeded team at the time. And that was the year, I think that was the year with Dwight Howard and during that particular season. So that was the year they were grinding and grinding to get to the playoffs in that year. And Kobe was playing all those minutes, and he broke down. Look at the Lakers.
But LeBron has missed 17 games. If he gets older, Magic's not gonna weigh him out because I think they're looking at him being there longer than for the next 3-4 years. I think their plan is to have him play longer than that.
Let's look at the Lakers at this point. I mean, look at the Lakers at this point. This is a team like that Laker team when Kobe tore his Achilles, who are fighting for their playoff lives.
Yeah, but it's not about this year. It's being respectable this year. It's about what pieces they can pick up in the offseason and this year. I understand, but it's not about this year.
I would agree, but I do think the Lakers want to make the playoffs this year.
No, I think they want to make the playoffs, but they're not going to make a run. I mean, they do want to make the playoffs. And then if they get in the playoffs, you know, LeBron's going to play, you know, but it's not about this year. It's what pieces can they put around LeBron after this year?
For sure. Well, I will say at this point, right now they're on the outside looking in, 1.5 games behind the Clippers, 0.5 game behind the Kings. The Clippers are coming out because they pretty much just, you know, purged their roster. They pretty much just took their best player, Tobias Harris,
oh,
is going.
The Kings got a lot better,
everybody.
Too. Well, the Kings look a lot better. Whoa, the Kings look good.
They do. But I feel like the Clippers are going to come out. I think ultimately the Lakers are going to come in and get that 8th spot. And I actually honestly believe that the Lakers could give the Warriors a very good series. I honestly think they could. And if we look at that game on Christmas Day, when the Lakers were rolling, and they were rolling, and that's the game LeBron went down, but they were rolling at that point. They had a great performance against the Warriors on that day and won that particular game. So I do think the Lakers can play the Warriors tough if they sneak in to the playoffs. And ultimately, I think they get in because the Clippers are coming out. They're not trying to go to the playoffs.
And I like that kid, Zubac, Paul. I didn't like that trade. That kid has a lot of upside.
Yeah, I did like what he brought to the table. But I feel like with JaVale McGee and Tyson Chandler, I think they'll replace what he brought to the table.
They can't score like him. His low post game, and he's an excellent free throw shooter. I don't think you look at the stats last night, Paul. I don't think the Celtics missed a free throw. If the Lakers shoot 50% from the free throw, they win that game by 4 or 5 points. I mean, they can't make their free throws.
That was a great game, by the way, because the way the Lakers shot that ball in the third and fourth quarter. I mean, both teams, they were going back and forth for a moment there. Just shooting.
Yeah, but look at the free throw shooting.
So, at the end of the day, do you think the Lakers make the playoffs?
Possibly.
I can't see them not making the playoffs. I can't see them not making the playoffs. Especially, I would say, if the Clippers would have kept their roster together, that would have, you know, I would have said the Lakers would have a hard time. But with the Clippers coming out and the Kings still being a young basketball team, I think the Lakers, leapfrog the Kings and the Clippers, and they go into the 8th spot. And they play the Golden State Warriors in a very interesting first-round series. That's the way I see it. We'll see what happens. But I'm looking forward to the second half of the NBA season and into the playoffs. That's going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it, too. Nice talking to you. It's been a great, other than these playoffs and what happened to the Saints. It was a great season. I wish the Saints would have been in. I think it would have been a way better Super Bowl. Hey, it's over now. Tom Brady's got his sixth ring with an asterisk by it. But he's got six, so I say he's the best football player to do it right now. So it's,
sure.
It's going to be – maybe guys come along, but right now I think he's the best.
For sure. Totally agree. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Hall of Famer Willie Rowe. You can listen to this show and other great shows, blogtalkradio.com/begin, where you can listen to this show and other great shows. You can listen to us, goforradio.com, sftunes.com, iheart.com, Stitcher. There's many different places. Goforradio.com, many different places where you can listen to this great, great show. For everybody here, go for it. We hope you have a great weekend. See you later. Take care. Bye.